You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Thursday, I speak to Viv Govender from Rand Swiss and David Shapiro from SASFIN. Now, Viv, I've got to start with you because I was looking through LinkedIn around about 2 hours ago, and there was a post from a chap called Stuart Theobald. And Stuart Theobald works for a company beginning with a K, and I think it begins with a K, but I can't pronounce it. I never remember it. And it was to do with an award ceremony that they were associated with, and you won the South Africa's Best Boutique Wealth Manager. So many congratulations. Rand Swiss, that is.
That is, and it's the first time we've actually entered the competition, so it's doubly positive for us that we've won the prize. And you know, we're focusing more towards wealth management than trading, which was the previous awards we were winning. And so, yeah, it's quite good for the company, I think, first time out to be awarded this award.
But, Lindsay, they always win awards, and deservedly so. They're a very good team, and you can hear it when Viv talks, and you have – there's – his wisdom comes through.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's remarkable that, for those people who listen to the show, genuinely, I think you learn an enormous amount. I'm not quite sure about from you and me, but certainly from Viv.
Well, anyway, many congratulations, Viv.
I mean it in the greatest sincerity. It's well done. Fantastic.
No, it's an honor, and I hope that you get even more business out of it. But I think on that note, David, we should start with you. And you haven't won any awards, and I can't remember you winning any awards. But then again, I don't really follow the awards circuit, David. But you're always on the podium with me. So well done. Okay, we've got so much to talk about. Okay, let's start with banks. We've had the Fed unchanged. We've had the Bank of Japan unchanged. We've had the South Africa Reserve Bank cutting by 0.25%. Then we got the August the 1st tariff deadline looming. When is that? I think it's tomorrow, isn't it? Yeah. We've got the tariff deadline tomorrow, August the 1st. We've got Trump's economy soars. That was the headline on Fox News. Trump's economy soars because the US GDP this week came out at 3%, but not quite so because it was an import story. And if you look below, it's around about 1.2%, actually, the real gain. But that's out the way. But we got the big one, David, and that was the mega numbers from Meta and Microsoft. David, you start with one of those, if you would.
You know what? If you look at both of them, the one number that just stands out, and I'm talking about – look, we can talk about the revenue numbers. You know, you can talk about the earnings numbers. But the number that you look at that is just astronomical is the amount they're spending on CapEx. And I mean, we're going into I think Microsoft, I picked up that they will spend this year in their financial year, whatever it is, something like $80 billion, you know, and Meta in the region of what, I think 65 to 70 odd. I can't remember the exact numbers. I mean, these are enormous amounts of money that they're spending developing their business, you know, investing in CapEx. And you must remember the multiplier effect of something like that through an economy. I mean, just you can convert it to pounds. You can just convert it into rand, which is quite astonishing. And where they've got the confidence to do so, and I think continue to, what also you pick up is that it's starting to give results. In other words, people are using the cloud. They're using the cloud services a lot more, yes. And they're also seeing the benefits of AI. You know, AI is pushing this along. So we've been talking about it, but it's actually working. So these are astonishing results and astonishing numbers. And they're the only companies that can afford to spend that kind of money, you know, without having to go to a bank and take on risk. So a remarkable story.
Do you own either of those stocks or both, David, for your clients?
You know, I missed out Meta, that's all. And it was a personal dislike of Zuckerberg that kept me on the sidelines.
I agree with you,
You know what I mean? It wasn't that I didn't like what he was doing. And, you know, Facebook has made a big comeback. It's no longer a family photo album. You know, old ladies looking at their grandchildren and that. It's really becoming a tool now. You know, Instagram and so on. But I've certainly held Microsoft for a long time. But, yeah, I can kick myself for, you know, not going into Meta when it just became apparent that he was going to do well.
Viv, over to you now. If you don't mind me asking, you don't have to answer, but do your clients own one or both of those stocks?
There were founding stocks in my AI portfolio. We bought Meta earlier than that because Meta went down, you know, significantly a couple of years ago. It was entirely self-inflicted. It was one of the most, I mean, you talk about Tesla being affected negatively by Musk. That metaphor was entirely Zuckerberg being crazed by the metaverse, if you remember that.
Yes,
and
I do.
And you saw the share price come down dramatically. I think it's up over 6 times since then. But Microsoft we bought and Meta we bought when the AI portfolio was created. There were a couple of stocks that were fundamental to it, and we kept most of them. The only one I think we've really got rid of, you know, that's of the fundamental stocks, is looking to get rid of Apple, unfortunately, because, you know, see what you want about founder culture. Tim Cook does not seem to have the foresight or the, you know, the ability to go and spend this kind of money. Apple has the money as well. But you need to either have somebody like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg in charge or somebody that's really recreated the business like Satya Nadella in order to basically make this kind of bet. And unfortunately, Tim Cook can't. But speaking of these numbers here, to put into perspective, and this is what's amazing, what Microsoft is spending in a given calendar year is more than any country in history has ever spent on a single infrastructure project. I don't mean like building one bridge. I mean like building like the national highway network or building the national electricity grid for China or for the US, or basically more than the US has ever spent in a single year to go to space, even counting the massive amounts they were spending to go to the moon back in the 1960s. That's one company's spend. And the crazy thing about this is that, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is spending this money not just on infrastructure, but also on people. He's offering packages up to $1 billion for multi-year, deals. Yeah. So imagine making $1 billion as a salary over multiple years. You know, obviously it's paid off in multiple years. You're making maybe $100 million a year, whatever it may be. Mm. And the crazier part is this. People are saying no. How are people saying no to becoming a billionaire on a salary? I mean, think about it. We're talking about the kind of money that Michael Jordan has earned over a career, LeBron James has earned over a career. And they are AI, basically, people working at places like OpenAI, at Anthropic, I think Ilya's new company, Ilyasitskaya, or Mira's company as well, that are literally saying no to hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, in terms of salary. And the only thing I can imagine here is that these people are either totally brainwashed by their leaders, or they are so confident that their company is about to hit AGI that they think that even $1 billion salary doesn't compare to the upside of being involved in the company that gets to AGI first.
Gosh, quite a few stats that you packed in there and quite a few things to think about. The infrastructure story really got me right from the beginning. Viv, I'll come back down to earth now on AI.
That's just one company.
Yeah.
That's one company.
Yeah, we'll come to the other companies in a moment, David, but I just want to go to you both of you cap in hand, and I've got my tail between my legs as I say this. I've started using AI, and I used it this morning in a meeting with someone, and I surreptitiously used Grok, actually, and I went into Grok and I asked it a question, and it came up with the answer, and I said to the person I was in the meeting with, it was a two-hour meeting, longest meeting I've been in for about 7 years, and I said to her, but in Germany, this is how they do it. Why can't you do it? This country is as rich as Germany, if not richer now. And I think you should allocate your money a little bit more expansively, if you like. And she said, oh, I didn't know that. And I said, well, there you are. Have a think about it. But that was AI. That would never have happened before. And I take my hat off to you two. I can't believe what a useful tool it is. David, you were saying something.
No. What I wanted to say is that Viv mentioned, you know, that Meta's spending more on infrastructure than any country, but that's one company. Yeah. Now you go into Microsoft as well, and you go into Amazon, and you add up the amount of money that's going into this. How can anybody compete? You know, how can any other country compete? And when I say country, I'm talking about the private enterprises within those countries. How can South Africa ever compete with this absolute power of America and America's spend and what this means to them as leaders? You know, we talk about exceptionalism. I'm not going to use that word. I'm just saying that these are individuals making these decisions, very, very brave decisions, and it's starting to pay dividends. So, I mean, when you look at the U.S., you know, just give me an equivalent in the UK or in Europe or anything like that. There's nothing that can compare.
No.
So we're going to see more. You know, we'll see more from NVIDIA. We'll see more from the other businesses as well. So it's just, you know, it's quite incredible. And it's, I think what looking at what Trump, what Powell did yesterday, I don't want to bring it in the big discussion yet, but I mean, this area of the market still remains the major driver of, you know, of gains on the market or of interest on the market. You know, it's still way ahead of anything else that we're seeing.
Do you think that, and Viv, I'll throw this one at you. Do you think that the sort of stocks that you two have been banging on about so correctly for so long, do you think they're recession proof? Do you think they are in a complete bubble? They've almost got like the Trump's golden dome protecting them from anything that the economy can throw at them, apart from a little blip on a chart, Viv?
Look, I mean, if it was smaller, you would say, yes, it's possible for the politicians to protect them. The amount of money that Microsoft, Meta and so on are spending here, are so ginormous that, I mean, these companies on their own are basically risking more than was at risk in major crises in the past, if you know what I mean.
Hmm.
You know, hundreds of billions of dollars at risk, you know, by individual companies that rivals like the Great Depression, the Great Financial Crisis for some countries. So I'm saying to you that what this play is, the risk here is that this doesn't work. If AI in, say, 2 or 3 years' time turns out to be a damn squib and doesn't really start boosting global GDP significantly, and the calculation you must keep in mind is this, roughly a company like Microsoft can get maybe 5% of the total GDP benefit it provides to the world. So if Microsoft is spending, say, $100 billion, let us say, as a guesstimate, it needs to basically cause $2 trillion worth of GDP growth in the world for Microsoft to get back the return to justify $100 billion spent, okay? $2 trillion is like 2% of global GDP. So Microsoft's $100 billion spend needs to translate into a 2% jump up in global GDP. Add that for Meta, add that for Amazon, and so on. And these companies basically need to be or need to result in the boosting of global GDP by like maybe 5% a year, okay? And that's the kind of impact that you have to see. If all we get from AI is as much benefit to the world as the internet, it's a total disaster. These guys are massively overspent, and Satya Nadella and Mark Zuckerberg will go down as some of the greatest destroyers of capital in history. and that's what we need to have happen here. It can't be like, you know, oh, this is the internet. This needs to be like electricity, but electricity not in like multiple decades, in a few years for it to basically work out.
Gosh, and David Shapiro will be telling us stories that don't involve sad stories about football. There'll be sad stories about something else. Sorry, David.
The point is that, no, you know, Viv's right. We don't really know what the outcome is. But at least they're going out and it's like the railways. Can you imagine those chaps who took the risk by kind of putting these steel boulders or, you know, building railways across the American prairies and so on.
Yeah.
They never knew what it was going to do. But the impact was absolutely remarkable. And, I haven't thought about it yet, but, I mean, the fact that they were able to get people there, what the railways did to the U.S. economy was quite remarkable. This, in a way, is the same kind of thing. You know, they're laying out the infrastructure. It's up to you, Mr. Williams, to use it and to understand how it's going to help your business. For the meantime, it's starting to give returns. You know, it's starting to look very interesting. But I think it's beyond us using it. It's up to the medical profession, the law, legal profession, you know, the engineering, the everything like that to actually make use of it. And I know Viv scared the hell out of us last week or something. He said, you know, all the people are going to, how many people are going to be unemployed, you know, and will have to be helped. Look, at this stage, I can't think that way. You know, I'm not going to do the numbers, but what I am going to say, listen, this is for the meantime, it's showing results and they are seeing some incredible returns on whatever investment they have made up to now.
So what we're witnessing here, gentlemen, is history. You spoke about the railways, David. If you look at the way that Rockefeller bet the farm on refineries and bought out everybody and went into, heavily into debt, and that did so well, and look what petroleum did to the world. But, yeah, it is a historic time. And the thing is, it's happening so fast. Viv, when will we know when it's if and when it's been a success or not? You talk about the contribution to GDP. At what point do you say to yourself, wait a second, I don't like these numbers?
Well, I mean, just to mention David's thing, the railways worked out eventually, but a lot of the companies that basically got into the railways, like a quarter of them, went bankrupt, you know, unless they were consolidated, et cetera, at like significant like discounts to like the value, you know, in the 19th century in the US. So it is a historical fact that, yet, if it's compared to the railways, it's going to be a disaster for some of these companies. but in terms of it working out, by 2030, I mean, the way these guys are ramping up right now, by 2030, which is the next 5 years, it's going to be impossible to increase scale at the way they increased it over the last 5 years, just because of the laws of physics. We just don't have the energy, we don't have the infrastructure to keep on increasing computing power and energy by 2030. Okay. Now, by 2030, they would have spent so many hundreds of billions of dollars that you need to start seeing, you know, US GDP growing at 5, 6, 7%. You need to start seeing global GDP, you know, you need to see 2 or 3% added onto global GDP within 5 years' time. At the same time, you would need to start seeing job losses, unfortunately. That has to occur because that's what is happening here. We already are seeing, you know, at places like Microsoft and so on, they did a report recently where they highlighted the 40 jobs that are most vulnerable. Unfortunately, David and I are among them, financial advisors, you know, analysts are among the most vulnerable to this thing. And they had the jobs that were least vulnerable were things like embalmers and massage therapists and so on. So at least me and David need to go to start retraining. You know what I mean?
Nail bars as well.
You've got to get a robot to do that.
I tell you what.
Yes.
Nail bars are the only shops that are opening in the UK high street. So maybe you could do some, I don't know, nail course or something, David.
I think nail technicians can be replaced as well, because I've seen machines that can print now nails.
Oh.
So you'd be amazed. But yeah, I think this is a case of the next 5 years either have to be the most unusual 5 years in all our lives, you know, including David's, or we are looking at easily the greatest destruction of capital in history. I mean, the numbers here, we talk about the railroads and electricity, like this is comparable. This is only comparable as like an analogy. The amounts being spent here are vastly higher that was spent on electricity or the railroads in the past. There's nothing in the past that comes close to this. This is literally, there's never been anything like this in history, quite frankly, in terms of capital expenditure.
Okay, moving on, gentlemen. David, it seems to be pick on David Day, so I'm going to pick on you for an analysis of what the Fed did last night. And they left interest rates unchanged, but there were a couple of dissenters within the Federal Open Market Committee. The reaction of the dollar has been to soar by about 1 2/3% against the euro. It's put the rand way above 18 against the US dollar, of course. It's not so bad again on a trade-weighted index basis, but that will have really pissed off Donald Trump, David.
Yeah, I haven't heard him yet. I don't know. For some reason, he hasn't appeared on TV today. So I don't know where he's hiding, whether he's playing golf, but I thought he would come out with boxing gloves. In fact, I don't even think he'd want boxing gloves. He'd want to hit Powell with his bare fist. I think that's how furious it is, because Powell actually didn't even mention September. You know, gave no indication of reducing rates. Look, that's backed by some of the data, you know, by the GDP data, which you mentioned, which, you know, and correctly said it was distorted. It wasn't correct because, you know, it included, or there weren't imports as well. And if you know how GDP is calculated, it's, you know, you don't include anything that is not manufactured in yourself. So, so in the same countries, it's a distorted number. But on the other hand, I just looked at the PMI now, even though it's below 50, Chicago PMI, it's well above where everybody thought. I'm sure the jobs numbers are going to be above what everybody's been expected. So the US economy is quite robust, but there are still areas of weakness, particularly housing. And I don't think confidence is that great for people to take on massive risk. Lindsay, where I'm going to, and I keep saying it, is that we do need something. You know, we got a little bit of a kicker today in South Africa, but I think the U.S. just needs some kind of help. And I think that's where, Trump is getting incredibly frustrated. And the more he gets frustrated, the more Powell digs his heels in and says, it's not going to happen. But there's a consequence. You can talk to Viv first, but there is a consequence that I'm seeing playing out here, which is quite important.
Oh, I don't know if Viv carry on. If you're on a roll, please tell us, and Viv can come in afterwards.
Okay. You know what's happened? Go have a look at the European market now. There's been a massive destruction and sell-off, and that's because U.S. rates are getting stronger, and the dollar's getting stronger, rates are going up, and it's drawing money in. The euro has gone weaker. And if you look at the European market at the moment, what drew my attention is I saw Ferrari's down 10%. Yes, I know they missed on sales. It was a very slight miss. But above that is AB InBev down 11%. And I didn't think their numbers were that bad. Mondi down 11%, you know, and keep going. I'm trying to remember. Hermes down, you know, over 5%. So it's a big, big sell-off right across the board.
Yeah, I've
in
got
Europe.
The DAX down. I mean, these are big numbers that you're talking about, individual stocks. The overall indices, yeah, they're down 0.7% for the DAX and 0.7% for the CAC 40. And the FTSE actually barely changed, if my numbers are correct. But they're about 15 minutes late. But I see what you mean, David. It's been all over the place. The Far East was down this morning. The US futures were up because of Meta and Microsoft. And here we are with Europe down now. So there's definitely some sort of geographical divergence, isn't there, today, which is very interesting. Mm.
This is a euro. You know, that's what I'm saying. This is, of course, selling out of Europe now. Remember when the dollar weakened, everybody said, you know, let's buy Europe. This is the opposite taking place. And I think some of the knocks that we're seeing are not really justified by the earnings, and I don't deserve this. So this is a shift. You know, this is like I would say like a structural shift out of Europe into the US.
I've got the resources index of the JSE down 4.1% at the moment. That's a huge move. Viv, just very quickly on the South African Reserve Bank, is Lesetša Kanyago too conservative, do you think?
Look, I have to say that, you know, there's some Sberbank governors that have done exceptionally. Jerome Powell, if you had to look at his situation a few years ago and say this is the result of it, most economists would have said this is an incredible result. Lesetša Kanyako has been an incredible steward of the Rand, and that's his main job. And yes, he may have been conservative, but understand that this is not the same kind of playing field as the Europeans or the Americans are playing with. Look at the example of Turkey. He gets this wrong, and the Rand is at 30 and 40 very, very quickly. And this is a very dangerous thing. The cliff is very steep once somebody loses confidence in an emerging market currency. Look at the Ghanaian cedi. Look at the Turkish lira. Look at, you know, what happened in Brazil. Look at globally. There's many, many places where this has happened. And so, yes, he's been conservative. But like I said, the risk-reward payoff is not symmetrical here. You must be more conservative in his job. And he's done an excellent job, quite frankly, in controlling inflation and basically ensuring that, you know, this figure has stayed, you know, stable, while many of its peers has not. The reason South Africa is in the doldrums is nothing to do with the Reserve Bank. It's to do with our policies, our infrastructure, our governance, a number of other things. But
the government rather than the Reserve Bank. The government is to blame.
Yes, no doubt.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. He's been good.
Okay, good. Well done. Yes, he has been a pillar. It's been one pillar of stability ever since I've been covering South Africa, I must say. Okay, let's have a look at the markets now, the all-important markets. So I've got the dollar rand at 18.13. That's a 2.4% rise for the US dollar against the local currency. British pound against the rand, 23.98. Euro rand, 20.74. Euro dollar, 114.35, which is a 1.6% fall for the euro. The British pound against the US dollar, 132.27, and that's a 1.3% fall for the pound. Let's have a look at commodities now, because this is interesting. The gold price is just about clinging on to 3,300. It was just below it, actually, by a couple of dollars, 3,298. The platinum price has fallen by $75 an ounce to 1,298, I think that says. Yeah, 1,298. And the palladium price is 1,210, which is down $54, or 4.33%. Now, this is where it gets interesting on the commodities side. The oil price yesterday was way above 72. It's now just clinging on to 71, down 2% on the day nearly for Brent crude, 71.04. And West Texas, $68.63, also down nearly 2%. That's very interesting. It's a dollar story, of course. And the one that I used the frame pissed off earlier on, and I'm going to use it again now because I am so with Donald Trump for playing fast and loose with the copper price. The copper price a couple of weeks ago went up 20% because of a 50% increase in tariffs on copper. That was reversed yesterday. Yes, they reiterated 50% increase in copper tariffs, but not on certain products. And the futures market fell 20% last night. I think that's really unfair to be so cavalier with a commodity, which is terribly, terribly important. South African 10-year bond, this is a good news story, 9.63%. That's a near 2% fall in the yield. And that's with everybody knowing that 25 basis points was going to come off the repo rate. I think this is because of the target of 3%, which has been put out by the governor. So very good news there. People coming for South African bonds. US 10-year bonds, 4.34%. S&P 500, 64.08, the September futures, up slightly, up 0.2%. And Bitcoin is, what is it? Just clinging on to 118,000. David, the ups and downs on the JSE today. Give us your highlights and lowlights, please.
Wow. This is, if we look here, it's quite remarkable because if you look on the negative side, you've got AB InBev down nearly 11%, 10.7%. And I don't think there was anything in their results that really, were anything to worry about. Mondi as well, down 10.5%. Impala, down 8.7%. Now, that's unusual because, yes, the platinum price came down, but the rand weakened. And, of course, you know, that would kind of stabilize the platinum price or the price they get. So there is a bit of nervousness coming into market. So we're seeing all the platinum shares down, Valterra down 7.25%, Northam down 7%, Sibanye down 6%. These are big falls. Anglo Gold down, 5%. So we've seen the precious metal stocks coming under a lot of pressure. On the positive side, nothing outstanding. You know, MTN, Consult, which is PSG, Sasol, yeah. Discovery, and Mass. You know, no massive gains there. But I mean, it's on the mining side that the damage was done.
Yeah, I'll reiterate that. And on the upside, MTN up 5.6%, PSG Consult 5.25%, Sasol up 2.75%, and Discovery up 2.75%. Downside, AB InBev 10.7% weaker. David, is that because people are not drinking beer, and although they're replacing, some people are replacing it with the 0% alcohol beer? Is that anything to do with it? And people just not drinking anymore?
That is a big story. That, you know, we're seeing it in the spirit side, and we're certainly seeing it in the beer side. But AB InBev have managed their way well through this. They are pushing the premium beers. That's why I'm a little surprised by what we saw. I know volumes are slightly down, but nothing dramatic. But I think this is a trend, Lindsay. It's something that I would worry about in that area. AB InBev, Heineken, we saw similar strength, Carlsberg. We're seeing spirits like Diageo, Pernod Ricard. All of them are reporting that on the spirit side, they're, you know, volumes are going down, and meaning that people are drinking a lot less. I don't know whether it's a healthy option, whether they can't afford it, but there's a definite lifestyle shift.
I knew I should have phoned you when I stopped drinking. I knew that would be the trigger for AB InBev and the others to fall off a cliff. It was a sign, a trigger. Okay, what else have I got? Mondi PLC down 10.5%. Impala Platinum down 8.75%. Valterra down 7.25%. Their results, of course, were out on Monday, and Northam's down 7%. I didn't realise, I was talking to somebody yesterday about Impala, and Northam's going up like 120, 130%. I know Valterra had gone up 50, 60%, but the other ones, goodness me, they've shot the lights out. David, please give us the closing indices on the JSE.
So if you look at the JSE, we, you know, held ground. I mean, only lost 0.8% down to 98,520. We're still below that 100,000 level, which were records level. But the damage done with the resources, the resource index down nearly 4%, and precious metals index down 4.5%. The rest of the market pretty steady. You know, financials held their ground. Banks up nearly 1%. The other financials also quite steady. On the industrial side, because of that ABN bet, because of the Mondi, they do have quite a strong weighting in the index. We did see industrials a little lower, particularly on the consumer side. I think the normal process, Richemont, all of those came under pressure as well, Naspers, and of course the retailers. So all, kind of mixed, funny enough, in the retailers. But I still think the heavyweights took the index down.
Okay. Viv, final question goes to you. We've seen great numbers from Meta and Microsoft. Will it continue with the other ones? I know NVIDIA is a bit out of sync, isn't it? It's not part of the normal results season. But the other ones, do you expect the same?
Not so many. I mean, Apple, I think, is going to be a bit of a laggard. I think Apple, in terms of, like I said, the AI story has kind of skipped them by. You really see it like, Julius, either you go very big, or you kind of go home. You can't be playing with like this kind of small kind of investments that Apple has done in the past. I think that is the biggest change that we're seeing at the moment.
Viv, thanks so much for your time. Viv Govender, Isun Ran Swiss, and again, congratulations on your award. David Shapiro, Isun Sassin Securities, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.